Now we're holding on page 110 in Sukkah, Ois Lamed Aleph. We learned last time that the Yetzirah has a bunch of different names in Tanakh. First, we have Hashem called it Ra, Moshe calls it Oral, and then we went through the generations and each different Tzaddikim and Nevi'im called the Yetzirah by different names, representing different ways in which he attacks a person, and so on and so forth. So now, the last one we said, that Yoel, in the Navi Yoel, one of the Tirei Aser, calls the Yetzirah Tzfoni. So he says the Pasuk there's a Tzfoni Archik Me'aleichem. In context, the Pasuk is talking about a huge plague of locusts that hit Eretz Yisrael, that Hashem sent to Eretz Yisrael at that time, and then he describes how the people did sincere tshuva, and then Hashem promises, I'm going to take away the locusts, and I'm going to give you lots of brachas. But we also understand that this is not just talking about a one-time plague of locusts in history, it's also talking about the other things that attack the Jewish people, Gashmius and Veruchnius, which Hashem is promising to get rid of. So he uses the expression, which literally means I'll remove the northern one from among you. So the Yetzer is being called Tzfoni, which means the northern one, and also means the hidden one. So now the Gemara is going to douche in that entire pasuk that refers to the Tzfoni being removed. The pasuk goes like this, Tzfoni Archik Me'aleichem, Hashem says, I'll remove the Tzfoni from you. Page 110 in Sukkah. In Sukkah, keep in mind that the numbering keeps on restarting every so often in the book. Yeah. So the pasuk goes like this: There's a tzfoni alchik me'aleichem. Hashem says, I will remove the tzfoni far away from you. V'hidachtiv al eretz tzio shmama. I'll push it away to a desolate and then to a dry and desolate land. First, I'm quoting the whole pasuk. Then the Gemara is going to explain it phrase by phrase. As ponav alay yomakamoni, the front of it will be towards the eastern sea. The pashtus meaning the Dead Sea. And the end of it will be towards the back, meaning the western sea, the pastures of the Mediterranean. The sal barshoi, and its smell, its stink, will rise up, because all the dead locusts, the olot sachanose, and the foul odor of it will go up, because it did tremendous things. So Poshet Pshat is, in other words, Hashem is saying, after the locusts caused devastation in Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to get rid of them, they're going to all die off. So temporarily, you'll have a stink there in Eretz Yisrael, sort of like they had in Mitzrayim after Makas Tzfardea, but that'll be the end of it, and things will go back to normal, and you'll have lots of crops and all kinds of brachos. Now the Gemara is going to douse in this phrase by phrase as talking about the Yetzirah. So Tanan Rabbanan, that's a Tzfoni Archik Me'aleichem, Ze Yetzirah Shet Sofun Ve'oimid V'Libe Shel Adam. This refers to the Yetzirah, which is hidden and concealed inside of it, which is hidden and lurking inside a person's house, inside a person's heart. It's always there, always looking for an opportunity to trip them up. And in particular, it means you have an aspect of the Yetzirah where a person may think to himself that he's completely, like the Alter Rebbe phrases in Tanya, Nidmelo Kilo Vayegarsheo Vayelechloi, and really it's lurking there deep inside, and a person may not even realize it. So that level is called Tzfoni. There's an explanation from the Rebbeim, in fact, that's why we have the Afikoman is called Sofun by the Seder. One of the Rebbeim asked, one of the Rebbeim asked his father, why do we call it Sofun? And he says, because we hide it. So he says, well, we shouldn't hide it, and then we wouldn't have to call it Sofun. And he explains, because it represents that getting rid of this Yetzirah of Tzfoni over here. Anyway, the pasuk continues, V'idachtiv al eretz tzio shmama. Hashem says, I'll banish him to a dry and desolate land. That means, l'mokam shein b'nei odim, mitzuyin le'isgaris behem. Hashem is saying, I'm going to push away the Yetzirah to a place where there's no people for him to go and try to fight against. So that's that. The pasuk continues, as ponav ala yoma kadmoni, its front towards the eastern sea. So this is the Gemara's that in the Jerusha over here, the Gemara is explaining that this as ponav ala yoma kadmoni, and the rest of the pasuk is talking about what the Yetzirah did all this time that deserves such a severe punishment. So as ponav ala yoma kadmoni means shenosan ena b'mikdash rishon, that the Yetzirah put his attention, his eyes, meaning his attention, on the first place of Mikdash, Behechrivoi, and caused it to be destroyed, Behorad Tamanachachamim Shaboy, and caused the Tamanachachamim, who lived at that time, to be killed. How is the Beis Mikdash compared to a sea? The first and the second Beis Mikdash, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, Rashi explains, because the same way as Kolan Cholim, as the passage says, all the rivers flow to the sea and empty out into there, the same way Jews flow from all over Eretz Yisrael to come to the Beis Mikdash. So in that case, the Beis Mikdash is like the sea that all of them flow towards. If you ever saw that, if you ever saw that pickle of, that picture of Michael Schwartz's with the depicting the how it's going to be when the third Beis Mikdash is coming, you have the Beis Mikdash on top of the mountain over there and people screaming from all over, then you can you have a pretty literal image of this. Anyway, Maharal Shor says differently. The vote is also because when the Beis Mikdash was standing and the Jewish people are living in Eretz Yisrael, they were part of a rubber kadogim. They're multiplying and increasing like fish, and that's another reason why the Beis Mikdash is compared to a sea. Anyway, so we're saying that the Yetzer Hara turned his attention to the first Beis Mikdash and tripped up the Yidden and Averis to the point that the first Beis Mikdash was destroyed and many Talmid Chachamim were killed. The Sofer LaYom HaAchron, when the pasuk continues, his end is by the last sea, by the behind, by the later sea. Achron means the later one. By the Yetzer Hara did the same thing as far as the second Beis Mikdash caused it to be destroyed and caused so many Talmid Chachamim to be killed. The Aruch Lanier points out, so why are we, I mean, the Yetzer Hara did a lot of things in history. Why are we focusing Gavka on what it did as far as the destruction of this Mikdash? He says, because in general, we know that with most Averas, we say, Machshava Ra in HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzar Kol HaMaisa. Person has a thought to do an Avera, usually Hashem doesn't count it against the person, only if he actually does the Maisa. But there are exceptions to that. One of them being Avodah Zarah, and another one being Sinas Chin. Now, what were the first and second Batei Mikdash destroyed because of? Exactly those things. Therefore, we're saying that the Yetzer Hara, Davka, worked to get the Jewish people to have machshavas, and even we're talking about not, there were people who maybe didn't worship Avodah Zarah themselves, but at least was thinking of Avodah Zarah, and that's already serious enough. You might have people who are not actually doing things of Sinas Chinam. They're not necessarily like the host in the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, picking people and throwing them out of their parties, but at least they have it in their mind, and that's why the Gemara is mentioning that point, he says. The pasuk continues, the stink and the bad odor of it is going to go up. What does that mean? That's also part of what the Yetzer Hara did wrong. That it ignores the goyim and goes and attacks the yidden. That's especially big thing. So that's especially big stink and bad odor that it has because it does that because it tries to trip up the Jewish people more than anybody else. And when the pasuk continues, ki higdilasos, because he did greatly. Amar Abaya, that means Ratman Chachamim, Yosef Mikulan, means the Yetzer Hara attacks and then tries to fight it and tries to trip up the Tamar Chachamim most of all. So that's the key. He does the greatest possible thing. Now, why it is that what it means that the Yetzer Hara tries to attack the Jews more than the Goyim and the Tamar Chachamim more than anybody else. So as the Gemara is going to say, you have the expression, the greater a person, the greater the Yetzer Hara. And there's a lot of different reasons for it, including the fact that where there's greater Kedusha, Zelo, Masel, Selikim, so where there's greater potential for Kedusha than the Yetzer Hara, the Sitra Achra is trying to attack it more. You have the idea also, at least when it comes to Talmid Chachamim, that sometimes you may have a person who's taka Talmid Chacham and he feels too big about himself. He feels a little bit too much gaivus, and then that gives more of an opening for the Yetzer Hara to attack him. But anyway, so now the Novi is saying, because of that, is why the Yetzer Hara deserves to be thrown out of society completely. So Maharal also points out, you know, we learned before about how the Yetzer Hara, lost in love, when Hashem finally kills it, is going to appear to the tzaddikim like a mountain and to the shoyim like a thin hair. So that's another meaning of kehig delasis, that the Yetzer Hara grew and became so tremendous, like a giant mountain, and therefore it deserves to now be to now be pushed away and gotten rid of. So we're saying with Talmid Chachamim Yosef Mikulan Piha Maisa, as we have in the following story. Da Abaya Shamilahu Gavra de Ka'omalahi Itza. Abaya one time overheard a certain man, a Yid, saying to a certain woman, they'd been staying together, they'd been staying in the same inn or whatever. And he says, and the man says to the woman, Lamacho Nikdu Menezo Beduchta Plan. Why don't we wake up early and start going on our trip and get to such and such a location while it's still daylight? Omar Sabaya thinks to himself, Ezel Akashino Misura. I better go prevent them from doing an Isur. This is an unrelated man and woman. They're going to be alone on the road. Who knows what might happen? Ozo Basrai, Tlosa Parasi Ba'agma. So he followed them for a distance of 3 parasa through the meadows, which is not a very comfortable place to walk, but he's walking behind them to keep an eye on them. Keep Patri, you have a Parashi Vadodi. Eventually they came eventually they came to a crossroads. Now, they actually, this man and this woman come from different towns. So they come to a point, they come to a fork in the road where they're going to have to go in different directions. Shaminu Dekahamri, Abaya overheard them saying to one another, Urchin Rechika, our journey is distant, meaning Rashi says we live very far apart, but Savsin Besima, or the company was very nice. It would have been very nice to keep each other company longer, but now we can't because we each have to go in our other direction. Marsha says it can also mean that Urchin Rechika, we had a very far distance to go from the inn that we stayed in until here, but it's been a nice, it was a very nice, pleasant journey because we had each other's company. Lo yachilna, but now we can't anymore because we have to part ways. So each one went in their opposite direction. So the point is, nothing actually happened. They didn't realize apparently that Abaya was following them. Otherwise, there's no chiddush in it. So that the point is that they didn't do anything wrong, even though Abaya was concerned they might. But in fact, all they did is they were tack of keeping each other company on the way. Nothing more than that. Omer Abaya, Abaya says to himself, Iman de Sonny Lihava, if this had been in the position of that man over here, if it had been my enemy, by which he means himself, Loi Hava Motzi Lukmi Anafshe, then he wouldn't have been able to hold himself back. In other words, Abaya is saying, if I had been in that guy's position, walking on a deserted road together with a woman, then I wouldn't have been able to hold back my Yetzahara, and I would have ended up being Mizan with her. So this guy, this Pasha Deyid, is greater than I am. Also, Tole Nafshe, the Ibra the Dasha. So Abaya went and was leaning against the bolt of the door. Rashi describes to Adam Shemachashav Mitzayel, like you have a person leaning in a worried frame of mind, like he's standing over there and worried about himself. Where am I holding in Avoda that I have such a powerful Yetzahara that if I had been in that guy's position, I wouldn't have been able to hold myself back. And by the way, first of all, Ben Yehoyada points out why Dafka against the door. He says, because he's symbolizing by that. I haven't even entered the door of Yiras Shemayim yet, apparently. This guy apparently has, this Pasha Tegid has, and me, I'm not even there yet. But also, we actually find the Gemara in Kiddushin, where it mentions that the Abaya and various other Chachamim, the Gemara has a sugya near the end of Kiddushin about the Dinim of Yichud, and it mentions that Abaya was exceptionally careful about the Dinim of Yichud. So even though Me'ikra Din, for example, a man is allowed to be in Yichud with a behemoth, the Gemara mentions over there that Jews are not usually choshud on bestiality. Nevertheless, Abaya was careful even about that. So, and nevertheless, he's saying to himself, apparently, it doesn't, what good of it has it done me all this time? I still have such a powerful Yetzirah. So if I have a comet star, he's feeling very bad. Until a certain old Talmud Chacham came and taught him. Tosfos mentions in some places that Tosfos mentions in Chulin that Yesh Omrim that Ahu Sava also means of Yo, always means of Yo on Navi. Tosfos says maybe not necessarily. The Al Rebbe, that I've never heard of.
Saba is not
okay, maybe. The Alter Rebbe is not the only Rebbe who's been called the Alter Rebbe anyway. You know, you have other tzaddikim who've been called the Alter as well. So I don't know. Anyway, so Tosfos elsewhere mentions that Ahu Sava maybe Neliyo Anovi, although Tosfos says maybe not necessarily. Anyway, this Ahu Sava came and taught Abaya Abraisa, Kola Godo Mechadera Yitzri Godo Hemenu, the greater a person, the greater his Yetzahara, as we were just saying before, that the Yetzahara attacks Talmid Chachamim more than anybody else. So therefore, he's telling Abaya, don't feel bad that you wouldn't have been able to hold yourself back. And this Pasha Deyid was able to. He doesn't have as powerful a Yetzahara as you do. And yeah, the Alter Rebbe talks about in Perek Lamed of Tanya in particular that sometimes you may have a Yid, a Talmid Chacham, a Yedea Sefer, who looks down on the Amei Haaretz and he says, look at those low lifes. They do all these kinds of Averis and I'm better than them. And you should realize the Alter Rebbe says, listen, you know, they're Yoshvei Kronos. They're out there in the streets. They're exposed to a lot more Tivus than you are sitting in the Beis Medrash. And besides that, you may be a more naturally cool kind of person where he's got a more naturally hot Yetzahara. So don't think you're so much better. Here it's the other way around, where Abaya is thinking himself that he's worse than that other guy, and Ahu Sava tells him it's not necessarily so. Okay. Continuing on the topic of the Yetzahara, Omer of Yitzchak, Yitzre shall order mischadish or misgaber all of b'chol yoyim b'yoyim. A person's Yetzahara, mischadish means it renews itself, misgaber means it strengthens itself. Olav on him, b'chol yoyim b'yoyim, every single day. The difference between Misgaber and Misgadish, there's a couple of different explanations in Mefarshim. One of them is that Marsha refers over here to something that he says about it in Kiddushin, that he says Misgadish would refer to one of them would refer to Maisim of Averis and the other one to Machshavis of Averis. Machshavis, you can more say Misgadish. It's like a new thing that the Yetzer Hara, after all, when he was in the womb, he didn't have the ability to think thoughts. Now he does, so that's Misgadish. As opposed to Misgaber, would be referring more to the Yetzer Hara as constantly trying to devise new Maisim for him to do wrong. And then there's different other explanations as well. Ben Yehoyada, I think, says that that Mischadish would Rabbi Yenison Eibershit says on it that that Mischadish would refer to things where a person doesn't necessarily have such a natural taiva for them. He says, for example, let's say Lashon Hara. Does a person get an actual physical pleasure out of Lashon Hara or other such things? Not necessarily. So that would be Mischadish. Misgaber would be more the kind of things where a person taka has a gashmiistic pleasure of. And the Yetzer Hara is constantly coming up with new ways to strengthen him in that. Anyway, Shanema, as the pasuk says, v'chol yetzer machshavos libo, rach rach kol hayom. All the thoughts of all the yetzer of a person's thoughts is only evil all day, meaning every day it's something new. And Amar Rav Shimon Levi, Amar Rav Shimon Lakish rather, Yitzur Shalom Misgaber al b'chol yom u'mavakash lahamisoi, a person's Yetzer Hara every day is overpowering him and trying to kill him. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Soifa Rosha Latzadik u'mavakash lahamisoi, the Rosha, meaning the Yetzer Hara, as we said before, that was one of the names for the Yetzer Hara, is looking out to the Tzadik u'mavakash lahamisoi, and he wants to kill him. And if it weren't for the fact that Hashem helps the person, he wouldn't be able to withstand the Yetzer Hara. As the next pasuk continues, until him, Hashem will not abandon him in the Yetzer Hara's hand. We know the Alter Rebbe explains in Perek Yud-Gimel Tanya that what it means is, so you have, we're talking about Beinoni over here, you have the Yetzer Tov gives its opinion, the Yetzer Hara gives its opinion, and the Eibishter helps out. If it weren't for the Eibishter's help, the person would not be able to withstand, the Yetzer Hara would end up tripping him in one thing or another, and then he's no longer a Beinoni. Instead, Hashem helps him. The help is by making Moyach Shalat Alalev and giving that Yetz, and giving the Yetz Toiv, giving the Nefesh of a kiss, that boost to help him overcome the Nefesh of Ahans.
Falls in, Hashem still helping him, but
means he didn't make enough effort. Obviously, it doesn't mean. I mean, actually, a person still has the chiruch. So the Mefarshim explain. In other words, Hashem, a person. Is one of those rare things in history. Like it says, for example, about the Chetei Tadas, that the Eibishter manipulated things. Ordinarily, the vort is, if a person ends up falling into an aveda, it's because even though the Eibishter is helping him, he didn't put in enough effort himself. Obviously, I'm boldly trying to say, you know, but there still has to be that he's putting in the effort. Say what?
Who is the Ben Adam himself.
So the Alter Rebbe explains, when you think about it, a tzaddik, you can say, his own metzius is his nefesh of a kiss. For a Benini or anybody else, their own metzius is the nefesh of a hamas. So therefore, they need help from the Eibush to overcome that. What it was is Marsha had said over there about Mischadish and Misgaber. The vort is, he said rather, that the Mischadish refers to averus that involve a person's thoughts and things like that. Misgaber, yeah, involves the guf. So therefore, that's why it uses the expression Mavakash Lahamisai. The Yetzer Hara can't kill the Nefesh Alakis, but it can kill the body, which is why only when Rish Lakish is mentioning Misgaber Allah B'chol Yom, that's when you have the expression Mavakash Lahamisai. Ben Yehoyada also explains that another difference is the difference between Misgadish and Misgaber. It depends. The day before, did the person finish all the avodah that he was supposed to for that day? In that case, then the next day, the Yetzer Hara sort of has to start over from step one. That's Misgadish. Whereas if the person left undone the day before things that he was supposed to do in avodah sabirurim, then there's Misgaber, then the Yetzer Hara can strengthen himself based on that. Anyway, the point is, every day, in other words, a person has a new Yetzer Hara. Then Rabbi Shmuel teaches in a braisa, me, my son, which also means my Talmud, im poga b'chol menuvol zeh, if this disgusting one, the Yetzer Hara, meets up with you and is trying to get you, mashchehu lebeis medrash, schlep him to the beis medrash and learn Torah. Im evenhu, if the Yetzer Hara is like a stone, nimoyach then the result of the of being in the Beis Medrash will be that he'll melt away like the way that a stone melts away with water, as we have the famous story of Reb Akiva. In Barzel, who and Shenemar, and the Ein Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Dichtiv, as the pasuk says, Avonim Shochaku Mayim, water, stones are worn away by water. The Ein Mayim Al Torah, and the water over here refers to Torah, Shenemar Hoy called Sami Lachula Mayim. In Barzel, who and if the Yetzirah is strong like iron, then the fire of the Torah, Mispoitzeth, will cause it to explode, to shatter. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Haloi koi dvori koeshneum Hashem. Hashem says, aren't my words of Torah like fire? Or chafatish, you fights it sela, and like the hammer that shatters the rock. Now Rashi over here explains that it means that the fire causes the iron to shoot out sparks. So that's the mispoitzet, that the iron is now breaking up into smaller sparks. Tosfos discusses over here and in several places, in several other places in Chas. We had a sicha about it a few weeks ago in connection where Rashi brought that expression in a different context in Parshas Va'era, that there's a couple of different ways of explaining it. It can mean that the Torah is being compared to the hammer which strikes the rock and shatters it the way that, in other words, the Yetzirah would be like the rock that gets shattered. On the other hand, the context of the Gemara here seems to require that we're saying the Yetzirah is like the hammer. So either it can mean like Rashi says, because the hammer, because sparks fly off the hammer, representing that you're causing the Yetzirah to break up into small sparks. Or you also have Tosfos brings the possibility based on a medrash that it means you're talking about an exceptionally strong, hard kind of rock where when you bang on it with the hammer, it's not the rock that shatters, but rather the hammer. So therefore, the Yetzer Hara then is being compared to that kind of thing where you take the hammer and you bang it on such a rock, and the hammer is what shatters into pieces, like we're saying the Yetzer Hara will shatter. The Ritva also discusses it over here and says that it brings a different girsa im even whom sports it's in Barzal Hunimoyach the other way around, that if the Yetzirah is like a stone, then it'll shatter into pieces, like when you bang on it with the hammer, and if it's like iron, then it'll melt away from the heat of the Torah, from the fire of the Torah, like the way that iron is melted by the heat. So either way, the point is to bring him to this medrash, and one way or the other, you'll deal with him. What the comparison is to stone versus iron, again, you have different explanations. It can refer to the guf versus the neshama. The Aruch HaNer brings an idea that you have, as we know, a person has two kinds of yetzer haras, one that cools them off to things of kedusha, and the other one that heats them up to things of tumah. So each one, we're saying the Torah has the ability to counteract both of those, and therefore we're comparing stone as cold, metal as hot, and therefore we're saying whether the Yetzer Hara is a hot kind of thing trying to get a person excited about things of lo maseh, or whether it's a cold Yetzer Hara trying to get him cold and apathetic like a stone to things of kedusha. Either way, the Torah can counteract that. One idea is there's a vort on there, I think, from the Vilna Gaon that says when you say Mashcheu the Beis Medrash, so the Yetzer Hara is going to say, I don't want to go to the Beis Medrash. How are you going to schlep him there? You tell him, I'm going to learn Torah there, Shaloi Lishma. He'll say, good. Well, then, in that case, I want that. Meanwhile, you come in there and you start learning Lishma, and it causes the Yetzer Hara to break apart. Gemara continues. Omer of Shmuel Menachmeni, Omer of Yonason, Yetzer Hara Mesisei La'odim Ba'olam Hazeh. The Yetzer Hara tricks a person in this world to do Averis, who made Olam La'olam Haba, and then he's the very same one who goes and gives Eidos on him in Olam Haba. The Gemara in Bava Basra has the expression, Hu Satan, Hu Yetzer Hara, Hu Malach HaMaves, where as the Yetzer Hara, he goes and tricks a person, as the Satan, he then goes accuses in Shemayim, and then as the Malach HaMaves, then he carries out the verdict. So here the Gemara is saying the same thing. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, the fanik minoyar avdoi, if a person spoils his eved from his youth. Now the Yetzer Hara is supposed to be a person's eved. It should be. In other words, what is the Eved to give you a Yetzer Hara for? Ultimately, the idea is that you should make it your eved, that you put it to work for you. This is, after all, what Tanya is all about. It's about taking the Nefesh of Bahamas and putting it to work in the service of Elikus. So it's meant to be your eved, but instead, if a person spoils his eved, and minoya from his youth, the result is v'achriso yiyamonoi. the end of it is going to be that Eved is going to become monoin. Now, in the simple meaning of the Pasuk, Meforshim, the Pasuk explains that monoin means something like a ruler or something. So, in other words, the Yetzer Hara ends up dominating and ruling over a person. But here, the Gemara is doubting the word monoin, sheken ba'at bach, the Beit Abchia, kodem l'sahada monoin. In the system of transforming letters, that's called Atbach, which they taught in the Yeshiva of Reb Chiya, the word Sahada, which means the word Sahid, is the Aramaic word for an Eidos. So Sahada means Eidos, becomes the word Mon. Atbach works like this, Rashi explains. You take the letters of the Aleph Beis in pairs so that they add up to powers of 10. You start with the Aleph and pair it up with the Tes, the Beis with the Ches, the Gimel with the Zion, etc. Then you have Hey left over. You do the same thing with the letters of the Aleph Beis that are the tens. Yud pairs up with Tzadik, Chof with Pei, and so on and so forth until you have Nun left. Then you come to the last letters. Now, Rashi understands that you actually have two different Yusoris in Rashi over here. Here, the way it is here in Rashi versus the way it is in the printed Gemara. Is it that now you take the remaining four letters, Kuf pairs up with Tuf, and Resh pairs up with Shin. Now, those don't add up to 100. Those add up to only 500, but that's how it is, because that's all the letters you have left. And so then the only letters you have left are He and Nun. So working in that way, then the Samach pairs up with the Mem. So the Samach of Sahadar becomes the Mem of Monoin. The He of Sahadar becomes the Nun of, becomes the Nun, because again, He and Nun are the two letters you have left over. The Vav of the Dalet of Sahadar becomes Vav, and the second He also becomes a Nun. The other way of doing Atbach, which is how we have the Girsa in front of us in Rashi, and Marshal also brings it, is that actually with the last few letters, you also go in thousands, because we know the end of letters also can function as hundreds, the Langa Chof representing 500, the Shloss Mem 600, etc., up to the Langa Tzadik representing 900. So then you have Kuf would pair up with Langa Tzadik, Reish with Langa Fe, and so forth. The problem with that is, Marashah says, that wouldn't seem to work with our Gemara over here, because the word Monoin ends with a Langa Nun. So in that case, according to that system, Langa Nun would represent 700, and it would pair up with Shin, and then the substitution wouldn't work. So therefore, it's easier to understand it if you use the other way of doing Atbach, which is where the last four letters just pair up with one another, and you ignore the end of letters. They're just treated as variants of the regular letters, as they usually are, and therefore the hey always goes together with Nun. There's a vort on that also. There's a vort, I don't remember from who, that says in a similar vein, for example, when it said when Bilam gives the brachas to the Jewish people, and he says, hen om levod of Yishkain, why is he using the word hen? Or the word hen for that reason, because the hey and the nun are the letters that don't join up with any other letter in the system of Atbach, and therefore it represents the Jewish people who remain alone and don't mix with the other goyim. The Maharal mentions it in another connection as well, when the Gemara tells us in Brachas that we know there's no pasuk beginning with Nun in Ashrei, and the Gemara explains over there because Nun represents the Nefila falling, and David didn't want to put that in there. Instead, he puts the next pasuk Seimach Hashem L'chol Neflim. So the Maharal makes a similar point about that in this system of Atbach, the letter Nun has no other letter to support it. Like the only one that can support it is another Nun, and therefore more than any other letter, it represents the concept of Nefila of falling. Anyway, the point is that now, so we're doubting again. So, Mephanek Minoya Abda, a person spoils his Eved, his Yetzer Hara, from his youth. Vachrisi Yeh Monoin, in the end, the Yetzer Hara is going to be the Monoin, which we're saying means Sahada, means the Eidos, on him in the Olam HaEmes. More about the Yetzer Hara and the danger of letting it take root. Rav Huna Rami, Rav Huna pointed out a contradiction between two psukim. Steve ki ruach znunim hisam, a pasuk in Hosea, the Navi says that the spirit of znunim, of straying from Hashem, has hisam, has led them in the wrong direction. Uchtiv, but then later on, the same Navi says, ki ruach znunim bekirbam, that there's a ruach znunim inside them. So what is it? Is it an outsider who's leading them in the wrong direction, or is it something in them? So it's both. Betchila hisam, all of a sudden bekirbam. It starts out as an outsider tricking them and getting them to go the wrong way. If they let it take up, if they let it, originally Rashi says it's also tos ba'alma. It's only like a mistake. Later on, when it takes root, then already it becomes bekirbam. It's already planted within them, and it's much harder to get rid of. Similarly, Omar Rava, all of a sudden kore oireach, all of a sudden kore ish. the Yetzer Hara, we see that you have it's first called a wanderer, like just somebody who happens to be passing through. Then it's called an Ereach, a guest, like a house guest, and that's called Ish, representing like the Balabas. Shenemar, as we find when after the whole thing with David and Bathsheba and Uriah, so Nosin Anovi comes to tell David what he had done wrong, and he gives, he starts by telling him a mushel, because he wants David to pass judgment on thinking that it's a real case, and then Nosin is going to tell him after Ish, you're actually the person represented in that mushel. So he tells him a mushel involving a rich person and who had a lot of sheep and a poor man who had only one sheep. And then the pasuk says, "Vayove heilach leisha hasher," a wayfarer, a wanderer, came to the rich man. The rich person he felt bad taking from his own sheep or cattle to make them as a meal for this ereach. So we see already that the halach representing the Yetzer Hara has already been upgraded to an ereach, to a guest or a house guest. And then the pasuk says that so what did he do? He takes the poor person's one sheep and he steals it and shechts it for the guest. And he prepared it for the man who came to him. So now already this Halach, who went from Halach to Urach, and now he's Ish, now he's like the Balabas. So therefore, so Nasan Anavi is telling David, you did the same thing. You allowed the Yetzer Hara to take root by you and for things to get worse and worse. In fact, Marashah says, we see that's exactly how it happened with David. First you have that the Sutton, the Gemara explains in Sanhedrin, that first the Sutton came and appeared to David as a bird, and David shot at it and hit the screen behind which Bathsheba was preparing to go to the mikveh. So that's already like a halach, that's also the Yetzer Hara, it's like flying through like a bird. What happens afterwards? He brings her to the palace, and that's already then, now he has the Yetzer Hara, the Aveira has become more like an Ereach, like a guest. And then you have on top of that, where you have the whole thing where Uriah comes back home and David has to arrange things to get Uriah killed. So that's already like becoming the Ish. So the idea is, in other words, again, the idea is a person has to be careful not to let the Yetzer Hara start and in on that process in the first place, because otherwise it's just going to get more and more, it's just going to get worse and worse. And in this connection, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Eva Katan Yeshbei Ba'adam, a person has a small limit. Rashi says it refers to the Aver Tan, the Didaglia, a man's Aver. Masbioi, if he satisfies it with Tashmish, Ro'ev, then he will be hungry. Rashi over here explains that what that means is that the person himself is going to be weaker when he gets older, because he overindulged this Aver when he was younger, therefore in later life, Ro'ev is going to be hungry and not have koyach. On the other hand, and if he starves it, then he'll be satisfied, then he'll still have his strength and vitality when he gets older. This Gemara is also in Sanhedrin, in connection with the story of David and Bathsheba, and Rashi there explains differently, although Yeshua Emim, the Pirush there was not from Rashi, but anyway, Rashi over there explains that it means that if a person tries, the Gemara mentions over there that David, knowing that Hashem is going to test him in a matter of Arayas, so he decided to overindulge in Tashmish with his wives, figuring this way he won't have the koyach and he won't have the energy to have a tiger for such a thing after that. Meanwhile, though, he didn't realize, as the Gemara says it, if he tries to satisfy that tiger, then he becomes all the more hungry for it, and all the more that inflames his tiger even more, so it backfired. And on the other hand, if he were to have starved himself, then he would have felt fuller, and then it wouldn't go, then his tiger wouldn't have been so inflamed, and the whole thing might not have happened. So that's how Rashi explains it over there. Chenemar is the positive, Kamar Isam by Isbo, the more that Mar Isam, where we can understand Mar Isam as the simple meaning of pasturing, but it can also mean the more they did bad, that's how Mar Shor explains it, by Isbo, the more they feel satisfied. So therefore, so Kamar Isam, if a person treats himself badly and withholds from himself when he wants his taiva, then by Isbo, then he's going to feel satisfied. If, on the other hand, if the other way around, the pulse continues, Sovu by Yoram Libam, if they try to satisfy themselves, then the result is by Yoram Libam, then they're going to feel all the more proud, and therefore they're going to be worse off because now they're going to have a more inflamed taiva. Tosfos over here understands it and along similar lines as well. In fact, there are Mephoshim who explain that we're not just talking about Tashmish, we're not just talking about Eber Tashmish. As Rashi said, we're also talking about B'chol, a person's appetite for food or other kinds of appetites like that. You have the same kind of thing that sometimes a person tries to fill himself up and overindulge himself, figuring that then I'll have less of a taiva later, and meanwhile it backfires and it makes his taiva all the stronger. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola, we know that La'asid Lavoi, we have that everybody who has Mumim is going to be healed from them. So that Eber talked about in the Sicha that at that time there'll be the complete refuah of all of Bnei Yisrael. Even this was a Sicha that Eber was talking about blind people, and that in that Sicha that Eber had been talking about the importance that now they're publishing Sforim in Braille for blind people. Around that time they had published a printing of Tanya in Braille, so that Eber was talking in that Sicha about blind people. So also La'asid Lavoi, then the blind Jews, Sagi Nahar, also going to be healed. In fact, the Medrash says on it that La'asid Lavoi, the blind people will be healed, as the Pasuk says, Oz Tipokachna Eini Ivrim, at that time the eyes of the blind will be opened up. In fact, a different Medrash says, since we have in the Halalukah Halalinafis Hashem, we have Hashem Pekeach Ivrim, it comes first. So that means, the Medrash says, when Hashem is coming to heal the world, who is he going to heal first? The blind people. The Medrash says on that Pasuk. So that means, in other words, a person won't have any lack in their physical ability to see. So therefore, then people who now have to use Braille and other such things, at such time when Mashiach comes, they'll be able to use regular written and printed texts, just like everybody else is. Continuing on Halachas in the Halachas of Kriyas HaTorah. So we started talking about what happens if you find a mistake in the Sefer Torah during Kriya, where it depends where, if you found it during one of the regular Aliyahs, or if you found it during Maftir, and it depends what kind of Maftir we're talking about. So now what happens is, if you have it's a day when you take out two Sefer Torah, you find the first one has a psul in it. If you have now, so now what happens is, you have a third Sefer Torah available in the Oren. Now what you want to do is, you're figuring, so now let's take the second Sefer Torah, which we've already taken out, and we'll use that for the remainder of the day's Kriya. And after that, we'll take out a different one from the Oren, and we'll use that for the Kriya of Maftir. So he says you shouldn't do that, because the fact is you have to read from the Sefer Torah for what it was prepared for. Since the second Sefer Torah was prepared for Maftir, or for whatever it is, if it's a day when there's three Sefer Torah, then it's for Shvi, whatever, then you have to learn from it what it was prepared for. The same thing on a day when there's three Sefer Torah, same thing. Same thing also if the Sefer Torah were mixed up. If you took out the one that was supposed to be the second Sefer Torah first or whatever, then you should roll it and take the second one, and that way each one is being used for the one that it was taken out in the order that it was taken out for, and that's the way you should do it. And then he goes on to deal with the order of chiyuvim. This is really more relevant for a gabbai, but you have a chosin on the day of his chuppah comes first, a chosin on the Shabbos beforehand, on the ofruf comes next. Next comes a sandik on the day of the milah, and so on and so forth. And you have a whole list of things. A yortzeit, which we usually think is one of the highest ones, is actually fairly far down the list over here. He has a yortzeit on that day as number 8, and a yortzeit during the coming week is number 10. So you have all that, and then if you have two people who have the same chiyuv, then it's up to the gabbai, or you make a girdle. If a person is visiting from out of town, then he's not doicha any chiyuv. Although, even so, people will try to accommodate him by making different minyanim or whatever. And you also have a minhag to give an aliyah to somebody who's going to be going on a trip or coming back from a trip, and also for a chosh of a guest. But again, none of those push off any of the actual chiyurim. So basically, though, if you want to have an aliyah when you're supposed to have it, when you have a yortzeit or your sandik or whatever, make sure you're on good terms with the gabbai.